Surprise! Today is a special episode just for you. Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 223.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
Hello, All-Star team, and welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, I figured I would do a special episode just for you because it's a long time I haven't done that for you. And I want to share my thoughts about a book that I'm reading for the second time, which is called Essentialism by Greg McKeown. If you follow me on social media, I have put a quote of this book on my Facebook page. I have put a picture of the book on my Instagram account, and now I'm doing a full podcast episode on it. So the podcast episode won't be as long as the other ones, but they will be filled with things to think about and maybe reevaluate your life right now and see where you put your focus. Are the activities you're doing necessary for achieving these goals and all of that? So there's a difference between an essentialist and a non-essentialist, and I'll tell you about it in a couple of minutes, and I will also give you examples for each of these. But first, let me tell you the kind of graphics you should have in your head whenever you want to achieve your goals and whenever you feel that you're kind of overwhelmed or pitching yourself everywhere or being busy, but not necessarily effective. So let's say you want to accomplish a business goal, right? And you have, let's say, a kind of a sphere, a ball, a balloon, okay? If you are doing so many things at the same time, it's as if you have many arrows pulling you from the center of this ball to the outside of it. And basically what you're doing is you're staying at the same place, because if you are putting the same energy towards all these other activities, well, it's as if you're pulling your ball in different directions, and at the end, well, it equalizes and it stays at the same place. On the other end, if you focus only on one goal and you put all these arrows in the same direction, so all this energy you would put on several activities, you put them only in one activity, could you imagine the amount of, let's say, speed and energy you will have towards this goal and how much quicker you will achieve it compared to if you were doing a massive energy in several aspects or activities in your life. I don't know if you understand what I just told you or explained to you, because it's kind of like hard for me to explain it to you because you're not seeing the graph. But if you open this book, right at the beginning, like in the first few pages, you will find that graphics and you'll totally understand what I mean. So let's dive in into what Mr. McKeown describes as a non-essentialist, and then we will go into what an essentialist is. So a non-essentialist thinks that he is all things to all people. And it's so funny because as an online business owner, I've done that mistake at the beginning, thinking that I would be of service to everybody, wanting to reach everybody and wanting to offer all types of services to everybody. Well, this is the typical non-essentialist, because when you go too much into those directions, well, again, what happens is that at a certain point, you are extremely tired, you don't feel that things are going forward, and you feel totally overwhelmed. When you're a non-essentialist, you also feel obligated to do things, as if people are putting a weapon to your neck or to your forehead, and if you don't do it, you're gonna die or something like that. It's funny because we put on ourselves so much pressure sometimes, which is not necessary. And if we would take some time to think what's most important for us to do, well, it would be easier for us to say no. A non-essentialist also tries to fit everything in their schedule. So if something comes up, they're kind of like reactive to it and they just want to fit in. Oh, okay. So I need to go visit a friend that came from, I don't know, from another country, and this friend is there for 2 days. Even if my days were scheduled already, I have to fit in to go visit that friend because I don't know when I will have that opportunity again. But again, you have to think about, well, how is that necessary, or how does that fit in your schedule right now, and how important it is for you to achieve your goal? And remember that each day, if you do just a little bit, well, of course, it will get you closer to achieving these goals. The non-essentialists don't prioritize at all. They think it's all important. And you know that the word priority was singular at first, and I think it was in the 1900s or 1800s that they decided to put it plural and put priorities instead of priority. Well, a non-essentialist has priorities, and all of these things are important. Are you that type of person? If you are, well, again, try to identify the sense of urgency in each of those things that you put yourself, like that you put pressure to be doing, but it's not necessary. So the non-essentialist also says yes, 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 yes to everything. Yes, 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 yes. And they don't think about it. And the thing is, there's always a chance to go to that non-essentialist, even though you know about it, even if you've read the book, even if you've decided to change your life and try to focus on the essential things. Let me tell you a story that happened to me just a couple of days ago. I went to a TV show recording, and while I was there, the host of the TV show is also a singer. And he's doing a big show pretty soon at the Bell Center. And he was looking to actually have some people who knew how to sing to come and sing with him on stage. So I think he's going to have like maybe 1,000 people from the public who know how to sing to learn all the music that he's going to present during the show and perform on stage. I was like, oh my God, I was with my cousin at that recording and I was so excited about it. I was like, cousin, we need to go there. You know how to sing. My cousin is a singer and she was very excited about it. And it's not that I'm a singer, but I used to play the piano. I love music. I've been part of chores or chorus. I don't know how to say that, but groups of people singing. I've been part of those, of several of these groups, and I enjoy singing a lot. So I was like, yeah, let us apply and see what happens. So basically, I did the application. I got accepted, and I was very excited. My cousin got accepted also, and I was all excited. And as you already know, I work with my life partner. He's also my business partner, and after a couple of days, he was like, so I've seen you organizing all these things about the show that's coming up and you having to practice and sing and put a lot of hours on this project. I was like, yeah, isn't that cool? The opportunity to sing at the Bell Center and all of that with a lot of people with a great show. And I was extremely excited about it. And he was like, well, the only question is he asked was, is that pulling you away from your focus right now? And I was totally shocked because I was back into that non-essentialist situation, right? So being very reactive to an opportunity that was offered to me, and I just jumped on it and took it without even thinking about the amount of hours I would have to practice on on those songs. The practice, like I had to be at the show earlier, and maybe the several meetings that I would have had with my cousin practicing with her to make sure that everything is fine. So it would have been like a lot of hours preparing and practicing for the show. And I was like, you are so right. I mean, I should not engage into something else that's pulling me away into achieving my goals. And the next couple of weeks are very well planned, and this had nothing to do with what I had planned to do. So what I did, I replied to an email, to this email that I was accepted, and said, sorry, I cannot attend. And I told my cousin, well, you know what? Right now, it's not my priority, so you have to go. And I wish you a lot of success into it. And I know she's gonna have fun doing it, but it was not for me at that moment. And I felt pretty good about my decision, because I'm not a professional singer. If I was, maybe this would have been different, but this was only something for fun compared to my cousin who's singing and who's really wishing that that she will go further into that career. So yeah, I just felt like sharing this story with you, telling you that it's not because you know what an essentialist is that you are not sometimes under temptation and accepting opportunities anyways, okay? So as I said before, a non-essentialist can become overwhelmed, confused, asking himself, did I do everything I had to do the right way? Right? Because they have done so many things that they're kind of lost into it. They're exhausted. They're busy. They're not going everywhere. And they don't know about anything. Clarity? None at all. No clarity at all. So let's go to the peaceful state of the essentialist. The essentialist has the power of choice. They take the time to think and decide if this is a good thing to do or not. Having to do with the amount of time they have, the goals they want to achieve, what's essential in their lives, and what is necessary for them. They focus only on a few things, not all the things, few things, and they're aware of the trade-offs. If you want to become a successful online business owner, well, you will have to have some time for learning about it, hiring a coach, building your team, building and crafting your products, writing your blog posts, broadcasting your podcasts, all of that. So there will be trade-offs. Maybe you won't have so much time to go out and eat at a restaurant, or maybe you won't have that much time to go hang out with your friends, or maybe you will need to actually focus on, let's say, your family time and make sure that they are a great experience for all your family members, because you won't have as many as you wish you would, because for a certain amount of time you're focusing on your goals. So what are the trade-offs? The essentialist is champion at identifying his trade-offs. He takes time to think. It's funny because when I was in the non-essentialist state, I used to think that if I would lay on my bed or just sit and not doing anything but just thinking, I would lose my time. But basically, this is where you find your clarity. This is where you could actually write your thoughts, reevaluate if what you did was good, if you're focusing on the right stuff, what are the steps you need to do to achieve your goals and all of that. So it's very important, and the essentialist actually says no, except for what matters. So when they have an opportunity or someone just asking them something before saying yes without thinking about it, they're thinking about, okay, so do I really need to do that? What will happen if I don't do it? And is there a polite way to decline the opportunity if it's not towards my goals? So the essentialist always takes the time to make the right decision. He's in total control. He gets the right things done. And all of that brings to a state of joy, peacefulness, and the feeling of being grounded. And isn't that wonderful? So right now, do you feel grounded? Do you feel more like you're an essentialist or you're a non-essentialist? What do you want to do in your life right now? And where do you want to cut off? What are you doing that is not necessary at all? What I would suggest you to do is an exercise that my business and life partner made me do a couple of days ago. And he told me to write the 20 goals that I have that I want to accomplish in the next 90 days. So I wrote down 20 things, right? And then when you're done with those 20 things, you have to identify the five most important ones. The five most important ones, okay? And as soon as you identify those five, well, this is where you should focus. So the 15 others, they are typically distractions. And I was shocked, really, because there was still a lot of stuff I was doing that was not towards my goal achievement. So yes, I'm back in the right direction right now, and I'm so thankful for my business and life partner. And I felt like I had to share that with you today because for me, it really helped. And also that book, Essentialism, that I'm still reading and I so enjoy, is the bomb. So I just hope that all this knowledge about essentialism has helped you into focusing on what's important today. And if you want to discuss more with like-minded people, as you know, I have a free Facebook group called Connect, Build, Automate. So you just go on Facebook and you search for Connect, Build, Automate, and I'll automatically accept you if you have a picture as a profile picture. Not a dog, not an object, not a picture of nature or anything like that, but your own picture. And we will continue the conversation. So thank you so much for being here again for this other episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. I appreciate you. Without you, there would be no show and there would be no motivation for me to keep going. And I just hope that you will be able to say no to a couple of stuff this week and say yes to only what's necessary. So I'll see you next week for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Take care, right?